Excuse me, my name is Keith and I am an alcoholic. And yeah, I am nervous and I don't know if I'll ever not be nervous doing this. This is my second time doing this 12-step series, like I told you last week. My sobriety date is July 15th, 2003. And I don't say that to brag, I say that to the newcomer to let you know that it is possible to stay sober one day at a time. So I guess I'm supposed to be talking about step two tonight, and a little quick funny story about step two and God and how he works. My last time doing a step series was at Unity Church about 4 months ago, and Rachel had asked me. Step one went surprisingly well, you know. I could talk about the problem and the solution, no sweat. Then I get to step two and it's talking about this God thing. And we're at Unity Church, and the church is about, I don't know, a little bit bigger than this room. There's about 200 people in the room, and I'm going along in step two, and I'm doing the deal or whatever. And I don't know, man, like, my mind went blank. Like, I'm talking, and all of a sudden, my mind just went blank, and I'm sitting there. It seemed like a half an hour. Literally, like, you were there, right, Nick? Yeah, it was bad, wasn't it? And I mean, I felt mortified, and I was at where? How the church is set up, like, there's no back door, there's no exits over there, like, there's nowhere for me to run, and I would have dipped if I could have, too. But, you know, I just, and I bring the story up because I'm about to talk about God, but I just closed the book, I was coming out of reading out of the book, and I closed the book and I just put my head down and I said a quick prayer, and then I said something like to the fact that I don't want to give you guys head or something. I don't want to give you my head. I said something like that, and that broke up the flow a little bit. And God kicked in and got me through it. So. And I had said to myself, literally, like, when I was up there and I got done and we were saying the Lord's Prayer, I was like, man, I am never coming back to Unity Church. I am done. There was a step series, a two-step series, and that was it. I mean, I felt mortified, bro. But surprisingly enough, like James talked about Garrett and Stevie B and Russell and all those guys, and after the meeting, like, I thought it was the most horrendous meeting ever in the history of speaker meetings or whatever. And after the meeting, like, these people just came up to me and said that was the realest thing they had ever seen. Like, they saw the fear, they saw the mortification or whatever, and they saw how I was sweating and I wanted to dip and run, and that I sat there and I walked through it. And that's sort of a microcosm of AA. Like, we come in here, and I'll speak for myself. I come in here, and I talked about it last week, you know, I was beaten and broken, and I literally wanted to kill myself. Like, the book talks about all your scorecards reading zero, and mine were at zero, and I was beaten. And I understood step one, I understood that bitter self-pity, morass, all that stuff, you know what I mean? So I don't need to go into all that muckety-muck, because you guys can relate. I mean, if you're sitting in this room, I mean, there's a pretty good reason to what I'm talking about, because why would you come to B'nai Torah on Tuesday night if you don't know what the problem is? So I get with this guy, man, and you know, in step two it says, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Well, if I sit here and tell you that I believe when I got here, I'd be lying to you, because I did not believe. Like, in the 12 of 12, it talks about these three different phases of coming to believe. Like, there's people that come in who are belligerent. That was me. You had the intellectual people that think they're too smart. I definitely wasn't that. And but I was very defiant and belligerent. And so, you know, growing up, you know, I talk about last week a little bit about being a child of the 80s. And, you know, God just, that word just skeeved me out, you know. Because I had an aunt who was fanatical. Like, this woman was, she would go to church like every night. And she's one of those people that wouldn't work because God would provide, you know what I mean? Like, faith without works is dead, that was her. And, you know, seriously, like, I'm like, she's out of her mind. Like, and so I was made to go to church until I was 15 on Sundays for like 6 hours at a time, and people were speaking in tongues, and the Holy Ghost, and I'm like, man. So when I get to AA, you guys tell me about this God thing, I'm like, no way. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a different way. Sorry. And but given how I was living, right, 15 years, I started drinking and drugging when I was 15, and I come into AA when I'm 35, so I got 20 years of whatever you want to call it. Like me and my girlfriend were talking before the meeting. In the beginning, it was fun. From 15 to 18, it was great. You know what I mean? Awesome. From 21 to 35, horrendous. So I come in here and, you know, this God thing. Now, the man that stands before you today, not only have I come to believe in him, I know that he's there. You know what I mean? I know that for the last 10 and a half years, he's done for me what I could never do for myself. And I got evidence to prove that. You know what I mean? Like, but when I got here, I couldn't say that I believed. I wasn't going to believe. But the 12 and 12 says I need to reconsider how I have it or die. The 12 and 12 also talks about making like AA your higher power when you get here. I could get in line with that. Like, I saw what Joe was doing, and the longer I was at this halfway house, because when I got here, I went to a halfway house. I'd never been to treatment, never been to recovery, knew nothing about AA. Not to say I shouldn't have been here sooner than I was. You know, I should have been here a long time ago. But I had more research to do. But I believe that solutions and Joe and the meetings we were going to, that was my higher power, so to speak. And I can get on board with that. Like, I could relate to that rather than the God thing. And through this journey, and I'll relate some stuff that I've come to believe that was God, has come to have me not believe anymore, but have a faith. Like, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is doing something I could never do for myself. Like, I know that today. But I couldn't say that 11 years ago. So I talked about my struggles getting here and the muckety-muck last month and last week. And, you know, coming in here, the book says, came to believe that a power greater stuff could restore sanity. All I'm doing right now in the first two steps is just looking back at my past, gathering some information about this deal. Because, you know, again, I was stubborn when I got here. Very stubborn. Self-willed, went riot. Thought I knew a lot of stuff and didn't know jack. So I come in here and I got this belief system about God, about work. Like I said last week, I thought my job was to be in the food business because it was a great place for me to work and get what I needed to get. Also, you know, this selfishness, self-centeredness, I didn't think I was selfish and self-centered at the time, you know. It was all about out there. Like, what's weird about recovery is we talk about these character defects, right? And we're going to find out about those in 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. And in here, character defects are like deadly killers. Like, they kill us. But out there, they're survival mechanisms, if that makes sense to you. Like, so I got 35 years of being a certain way for so long, and I'm supposed to come in here and change that. You know, I talked about my upbringing, being a child of the 80s and stuff, so I condemned the whole religious body on two people, Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker. Like, those two people condemned all of you, you know what I mean? And so I had all this going against me, but yet I come into AA and I want to argue and negotiate and I want to debate that. I want to debate when you tell me it's God. Like, the big book is all about God. Like, it tells us the purpose of this book is to establish a relationship with God in my understanding. And that was pretty cool too. Like, when Joe sat me down and we were talking about this God thing, the cool thing is I don't have to believe in the God of my past. I have to believe in the God, his God, your God. It's my own conception, right? And so I can get on board with that too. And so I'm at solutions for like the first 4 months, and I'm still running the show. Like, there's no God. I'm still running the show. I'm still gaming. I'm still trying to get over on the system, and not knowing that Joe has like 16 years of in and out and relapse and all this stuff. And so he's heard it all. He knows all the games and stuff. So I'm thinking I'm gaming this man, and I'm going to the 101 every day. That was cool, right down the street. And I'm making my 90 and 90, but I'm out listening at the meetings. I'm getting up, getting coffee. I'm watching the girls as they come in and out and stuff. And nothing's changing. Like, I'm abstinent, but life still sucks. You know what I mean? Like, I still hate who I am. I'm just not medicating anymore. And the book talks about that. It talks about, you know, I drink because I was restless, irritable, discontent. Well, now that I'm not drinking, I can't medicate that feeling. So, and I'm wondering why AA is not working the way it's supposed to be working. I'm wondering why am I feeling how Joe's talking about in our Monday night meeting every Monday night. And I'm sitting in this circle, and for the first 4 months, you know, I could quote Joe, right, James, verbatim. You know, what he's going to say, when he's going to say it, how he's going to say it. And I just wasn't digging it, right? And so we start going through this book. And Scott read it tonight, and there's a solution. You know, the central fact. Again, for me, that all that God stuff scared me in the beginning. Like, okay, I get I'm dying and stuff, and I get what you're saying, but can we slow down on the God thing? Like, let's just chill out with the God thing for a minute. Let me get well first and stuff, you know what I mean, before you start ramming God down my throat. But I was dying. I also talked about last week how my pastor had something happen to him a month ago, and again, that would have been a perfect, if I was new and I saw that, that would have been my out. That would have been like, see, here's a man with 33 years in the church, founded one of the biggest churches in South Florida, and there he is. So this God thing can't be working. But I know better today, you know. I know that he's a man just like I am. So we talk about this in, you know, out of the book for a minute. And I talked about it last week. Like, Bill, he knew me, man. He knew that this book is nothing but God-inspired. If you know the history of AA, and again, like, stuff like that, I didn't think about. I never thought about history. I never thought about God and all that stuff. But once I got sober and I learned the history of AA, I found out that God's all over this program, right? We get our problem, in doctor's opinion, from a doctor in New York. We get our solution from a psychiatrist over in Switzerland. And Bill's buddy, Ebby, went over there for a year, you know, treated with this guy, Dr. Young, for a year. And he comes back over here, and he's drunk or whatever, but he goes to see Bill, if I got that story right or whatever. And he gives Bill the six tenets or whatever. So God's all over this thing. And then Bill talks about his story, and then he goes to us more and more about alcoholism, there's a solution. Like, he wants me to understand what I'm up against before I get ready to make this decision, before I'm about to turn my life over to this God of my understanding type of deal. But he wants me to know what I'm up against. Like, he wants me, because unless I know what the problem is, why am I going to even seek this God thing, this power, you know? And if you're anything like me, and the book talks about it, no human solution, no human power. Again, I've never been to treatment, and I haven't relapsed or whatever, but I should have been here a long time ago. But I've seen people doing this deal for a long time, and they always put stuff ahead of what it's about, the God thing. Like, we come into AA, like, I got a guy, right, in our halfway house. He's been there like 5 times. And every time he comes in, he's beaten and broken. And he sits on the couch, and we interview him, because we don't just let you in just because, you know, you got a good job and we need beds filled. We don't do that. We've had 3 people at our house before. But every time this guy comes in, he always leaves for the job, because he made good money, like $25 an hour. They want him to work nights. We have a curfew, so he couldn't do that. So he made the decision to leave first time. 3 days later, drunk. Second time, it was for his daughters, right? Before he came to our house, he didn't care about his daughters. He was out there doing the muckety-muck, doing the deal. Like, daughters weren't even in his mindset. So he put them ahead of his recovery, out there in the muckety-muck. And we let this guy back, and he just recently got back to the house and again put the job ahead of recovery, meaning wasn't willing to seek this God thing. Had a company vehicle, went out, rented it to the dope man with all his earthly possessions in it, and now everything's gone. Now, a normal person would see that and say, I might have a problem. I might need recovery. I might need this God thing that they talk about. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe he's constitutionally incapable. But that's not to talk the down on him, but that's who I was. You know, I was very defiant. I just was graced enough when I did come into AA that God had put an angel in my life, and I know today that it was God. He put this lady in my life. I haven't even talked to her in like 5 years. You know, she's in my life for a season, so to speak. Now she's gone, but she served her purpose. But I believe he put her in my life for a reason and got me to solutions. So I say all that to say, you know, coming out of this book, I see certain things. And even before Bill gets to how it works, and there's a solution, Scott read it tonight, you know. Imagine if you're being new, you know, there's a solution to almost none of us like the self-searching, which is a four step, the leveling of our pride, which is 6 and 7, the confessions of our shortcomings, which is step 5. Like, none of that stuff I did out there. Like, I never told anybody secrets. I never confessed anything, which the process requires for successful confirmation. But we saw that it really worked in others, right? As I mentioned before, AA was my higher power when I got here, because I know that I sat back and I watched. And I watched people, and I watched who was doing a deal, who was not doing a deal. I saw people who were just coming in here, hitting on the women, and relapsing, getting a white chip. Like, a white chip was a badge of honor for some people. And they're quick to tell you, it's my 30th white chip. Good. Why? So when therefore we were approached by those who the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. We have found much of heaven and been rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence, which we've never even dreamed of. Now imagine, I don't know what the hell they're talking about when I hear that and I'm new. No idea. The great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences. In the back of the book, they talk about spiritual experiences. Basically, all spiritual experiences are change. That's what it talks about in the back. Which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. Now, given who I was when I got here, wanting to die, and reading that information just in the first 25 pages, why would I not want that? Right? Because he's teeing it up for me in step 3. Like, I'm about to make a decision. Either I'm in or I'm out. I'm at that fork in the road when I get here. Door number 1, death, destruction, jails, institutions, loss of home, loss of jobs, loss of kids, all that muckety-muck. Door number 2, the promises, the prizes, authenticity. My word means something. My family back. All that stuff, right? But what a lot of us like to do is come in here and say, James, how long do I got to think about that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I like some of that stuff you're talking about, but not all of it. So the book says this. The central fact of our lives today is that the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered in our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could have never done by ourselves. That lives for me today. I can relate to that. But here it is. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there's no middle-of-the-road solution. I'll say that again. There's no middle-of-the-road solution. Like, so if you're coming in here, right, and only you, to thy own self be true, like, only you can answer this question. And I say this to the guys at our house all the time, like, don't waste our time. If you're not done, here's $20, go get done, right? No warm and fuzzies here, right? I don't have, Natalie sometimes says we're hard asses about that, but we don't have time because people are dying, right? This is for people who want it. You know, I wanted it when I got here. Literally, because, like I said last week, I was a coward. I couldn't kill myself, but I wanted this thing. And so once I choose that I'm in, I get busy. Right? So the book also talks about further on clear-cut directions, not suggestions that are given showing how we have recovered. The whole purpose of this meeting and when people speak is to say how we establish a relationship with the God of our understanding, right? For me, and again, once I did decide that I was in, because it took me like 6 months. Again, I'm not going to sit up here and say when I got the solutions that I was the AA guru. I was not. I was in the halfway house for 3 years. For the first 6 months, I'm surprised Joe didn't kick me out. You know, my rent got backed up to $1,000, which never happened. I wasn't working. Mom was still paying the rent until Joe one day said, I'm not taking any more money from your mother. I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? What do you mean? What do you care what I do, right? And here's God again. See, I know this to be God today, and I'm going to give you like a little bit of God stories in my life because came to believe. Again, I didn't believe. Then I break it down to an analogy like this. When I first got here, and you say came to believe, right? Joe puts it like this. It's like, say my car breaks down, and I'm from New York, so to speak. Scott's visiting here from New York. I'm not visiting, he's living here now. And so Scott says to me, hey, my AC's broken in my apartment. He doesn't know anybody. I say, I got this buddy named James. Gives you a fair price, good to go. Call him up. All right, so Scott calls James on the belief that what I'm telling him is true. Like, that's the belief that he, you know, he, me and him are friends. He believes what I'm telling him is true, right? So he calls James. James come over, knocks it out, fixes it, bam, no problems. 8 months down the line, something happens again to Scott's AC. This time, Scott doesn't need to call me, right? Because he had experience with James before, so now he has a faith that I'm going to call James and it's going to get fixed. Well, it's the same thing with this program, right? So I'm in here, and I'm 6 months, not doing nothing. I'm about to get kicked out, and I know I'm about to get kicked out because Joe said it. Joe says, you're $1,000. You come home today on Friday, you're getting booted if you don't have a job. Or if you don't have $500, you're getting kicked out of here. Now, at the time, there was this guy named John W. who owned Solution Sober House. He had like 30 years, something like that. Big in the AA in Pompano and in South Florida. Him and Wesley brought the Big Book Seminar to Florida. So he owns this house. And the whole time I've been there, John's never been there on a Friday night to collect rent, ever. So now I'm at the 101 Club that Friday. Like, I go out that morning to pretend I'm looking for work. And I'm watching the clock the whole day, like, please just stop. Don't get to 5:45. Don't get to 5:45. So I go to the 5:45 at the 101 Club, and I go to this meeting, and I don't know what they're saying. The meeting gets out, and we live down the street from the 101 Club. So for me, from the walk from the 101 to the house was like dead man walking, like Armageddon's coming. Like, I got nowhere to go when I get kicked out of here. So I walk into the house, into the driveway, and John, I see John's car there. So now I'm like, damn, I'm about to get from both barrels, right? And this is what, I don't know about you, but I make up a lot of stuff in my head, you know? I can make up a lot of stuff. Very fearful. So I'm walking in the house, and I'm like, man, so I'm going to get it from John. What am I going to do? Who am I going to call? Where am I going to go? Like, all this stuff, I'm just crazy with thoughts. So I go in the house, and John's sitting there, and Joe's at the desk. He looks at me, and he already knows. Joe already knows because he's seen this dance for the last 6 months, so he knows I ain't got it. So he just turns around. He's done. So I sit down, and John says to me, you know, what's going on? And I'm like, nothing. And Joe says, you got a job? I said, no. You got any money? I say, no. He just starts shaking his head. Now, a lot of people don't know that aha moment, like that moment where they said, you know, there's a shift in their commitment to recovery, so to speak. But I know exactly where I was and where it happened. I'm sitting in that office, and John looks at me, and he sits me down, and I'm expecting him to start swearing, because he swore like a sailor. He's an old dude from the Bible Belt, like he's a redneck from the Bible Belt or something like that. But he didn't swear. He put his hand on my knee, and he looked me in my eye, and he said, son, when are you going to get it through your effing head that your word is the only thing you have? That's all he said. He said, go to your room. Nothing about packing up or nothing. And I walked out of there, and I was like, man. It was like a spiritual experience right then and there, because from that day forward, my life has never been the same since. I went to labor pool for the next 6 months, making $42 a day. I gave Joe $22, I kept $20. From there, I got another job doing AC work. A guy saw me at a meeting, gave me a job making $8 an hour, all my own money. From there, my first sponsor got hired at another place. He hired me, which is the job I have today, 10 years later. But that was all, you know, I believe God. Another quick God story. So now I'm doing the deal, right? I'm doing my steps. I'm 10 months sober. I'm working my rent down, And this guy asked me to speak. Before I got to Solutions, I got arrested in Dave & Buster's out in Hollywood. And I got sent to the ATAC program. That's at the Conti. 6 month drug and alcohol program. And, you know, I wasn't serious when I was in there, but here I am, 10 months out of that situation. I'm at this sober house, and this guy, I guess he heard me share one time at a meeting or something. He asked me to come speak for him. I go, where? He goes, jail. I'm like, jail? You want me to go back in the jail? I say, okay. But I had to make sure I didn't have any warrants left. And I still had that warrant in Georgia. But I come to find out that if it's not a felony warrant, they won't hold you here in Florida. So we go into this jail cell, and you know, it's looking mighty familiar to me. And we get into this, to the pod itself, and I'm looking around, I'm like, either this is deja vu or this looks very familiar to me. This was the cell I was in 10 months prior, is where I spoke for the first time ever speaking. Another God story, right? So I'm like, man. So slowly but surely, I'm like, this is not just coincidence, I think. I don't know. I'm still not buying the God thing, but I'm like, man, something's at work here. So I get out of that deal, you know, and I'm at the sober house, and I'm starting to feel like, now I'm starting to feel different. Like, now I'm starting to feel this thing. And, you know, I go through the rest of the steps. And as I'm slowly going through these steps, I'm starting to see this or feel this God thing. Like, I know that God's doing for what I can never do for myself. There's guys relapsing around me left and right. And that at that time, there's like one guy other than me that got sober, that's sober today. Out of like 100 guys that came through when I came through. That's crazy to me, but whatever. So I'm in here and I'm doing a deal and I'm getting sober and I'm starting to feel this God presence, right? But old Keith starts taking over. Like I heard it said that the more sober I get, the more dependent I need him. Like the more I need God. Because my ego starts telling me that I got this thing. Right? I'm 4 years sober. I'm doing a deal. I'm about to move out of the solution sober house. And God has other ideas. Because I told you guys last week, I had no purpose when I got here. I had no direction when I got here. So I'm about to move out this week. And Joe says to me, hey, God touched my heart and asked, you know, I see what you've done in your life. And would you like to come partners with me in this sober house? And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, because I see what Joe goes through, man. I see the, like, it's almost like people spitting in his face, so to speak. Like, you give him shots, and they just spit in your face. I'm like, I don't know if I can deal with that crap, because I just don't know. So I talk to my inner circle and my people, and everybody tells me the same thing. It's a win-win situation. Like, I get to give back, which is still freely given to me. So I do this deal with Joe, and we've been doing it ever since. So I'm 4 years sober. And I'm doing the deal. Like, Solutions is my God. AA is my God. The guys are my, you know, I'm doing the deal. Like, and I pray to God, you know. At this time, I wasn't praying on my knees. I was always in my bed, like, praying like that. Until one of the guys once told me that for me to get on my knees. And I go, why? He goes, because it's you humbling yourself to this God. And I'm like, makes sense. But Keith is still running the show a little bit because Joe, talked about it last week, he's starting to go to church now. He's starting to go to Calvary every Sunday, and he's asking me every Sunday, you want to go? I'm like, nope. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. Right? This is my line for like a long time. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. So we're at the 101 Club one Friday night, and Russell was doing the steps back in 2009, I think it was. And Easter Sunday was coming up, and Calvary has this big shindig at Lockhart Stadium. And Joy had been asking me all week, do I want to go? And I'm like, no, Joe, stop asking me. I got God. I'm sober 4.5 years. I know it wasn't me, but, you know, I don't need to go to your church to get your thing. And he just wouldn't let up. So he chooses to come at me at this 101 club. And, you know, when Russell speaks, there's like 200 people there. And there's this 50-year-old man that on the street I would have knocked him out and stuff. But he comes at me. He's like, who are you, or who the F are you, not to honor the God that got you sober something? And I'm like, honor the God? And I go, that's your God, you know what I mean? Like, and that was old attitudes, ideas, and beliefs coming back into my head. So I go to the casino. I go to the casino with this guy who can't stay sober. He's relapsing every 2 weeks and stuff. And I'm at the casino, and I'm character assassinating Joe. Like, I'm just letting him have it. And the guy over here is just buying my crap. He's just like, yeah, Joe, that asshole. And, and again, here's God coming to them. Because I had a moment of clarity at the poker table. And I'm looking at him. And he's got a drink in his hand. And I got a Sprite. And I'm listening to him saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, whoa. Take me home. He's like, what's up? I'm like, take me home, bro. And so I get back to Solutions. And I go right to Joe's door, I knock on the door, and I walk in, and I make an amends, and I say, listen, man, I just, like, character assassinated you at the casino with Mark, And he's like, what? And I'm like, you don't understand. I was at the casino and I was like, you were dead to me and F you and I want out of solutions. And Mark started agreeing with me, and that's when I knew I had to come back here because he was agreeing with me. And he just starts laughing. And I said, listen, because in the book they talk about there's this guy called Herbert Spencer, right? And what Herbert Spencer was famous for was contempt prior to investigation, meaning that if I'm going to judge something without going there and checking it out, that's contempt prior to investigation. So I said, listen, Joe, I will go with you to church on Sunday just so you can stop asking me. And he was like, that's all I wanted, right? He's like, that was all I wanted you to say, because it was the attitude behind you not wanting to go. It wasn't the fact that you didn't want to go, but it was your attitude behind it. Like, attitude is very important in this deal. So I go to church with him, and you know, it's like they had a camera in Solutions because he was talking to me at that service. And I've been back to that church every Sunday for the last 5 years, even after this deal. So now I got that thing going on, you know, and, you know, my life today is great, right? So I'm going through this stuff, and I'm going through this stuff. Again, God is doing for me what I can't do for myself, but I don't acknowledge that. Like, I'm just saying, man, it's something out there. I don't know, but whatever. And so these little things keep happening and happening and happening. So I go back to Georgia for the license thing. God's there with me for that, you know. I come back here. It's time to get my license. I hadn't had my license in 15 years. And during this time, right, you know, I know people, and again, I'm not judging them because I used to do it. I used to drive illegally all the time. But I'm sober now. I'm sponsoring guys. I got guys at the house looking at me, so I can't drive. And I don't drive this whole time, you know, which is another God thing, because my whole attitude about that changed. Like, so I'm sober, and it seems like every job I got was within walking distance of the house. I don't know how that worked out. Whenever I needed to go somewhere, I had people to take me there. I like asking for rides, but it just worked out that way or whatever. So now it's time to come get my license. And I'm like 9 years sober. And I got Allie in my life, and I got all these people in my life. And so I go back to Georgia. I take time off work. I'm going back to Georgia because it's time. You know, I got my 5-year revocation up. I'm going back to Georgia. I get to Georgia, and the lady says to me, well, before I send you away, here's what you got to do. And I'm like, whoa, you don't understand. You're not sending me away anywhere, you know. And I explained to her what's going on. You know, my brother's a cop in Atlanta, so he's just pissed off. He's just like, I want to kill this lady. And I'm just calm as can be. That ain't Keith. You know, that's God. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm calm, and she's just throwing stuff at me, and I'm calling back here, getting stuff faxed back and forth and back and forth. I'm up there. A one-day trip turned into a 7-day trip. So when I come back here, they still got me going through the hoops and stuff. She's getting mad, wanting to kill him. Her stepfather wants to kill him because he's saying it's a black thing and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not a black thing. It's just bureaucracy, you know what I mean? And I say all that to say is the way I handle that, and not bragging, but that was God. Am I like that all the time? No, I'm not. Allie will tell you, when I come home from work, I'm a raving lunatic. Not spiritually fit. Another God story. And I'm just telling these God stories because this is how I came to believe that there's a God. There's a God out there. All this stuff that's happening in my life, that's God doing for what I can't do for myself. So we're at our sober house. It's like we got like 3 guys in the house because we won't take people just to fill the beds. The mortgage is coming up due, and we don't know how we're going to pay the mortgage. We don't have any idea. And me and Joey just sitting outside one day, he's smoking a cigar, I'm smoking a cigar, and he was just talking. He's like, hey man, it looks like Solutions is gonna be closing. He's like, say a prayer. I'm like, what? He goes, say a prayer. So I do. And he does. About a year ago prior to that, there was this big guy, he weighed like 400 pounds. And nobody would take him in but Solutions. So we took this guy in. And he got sober and he left. Well, that next day when we were praying about our situation, Joe gets a phone call from this guy who we hadn't seen in like 2 years or whatever. His name was Bob Campbell. And he was an heir to the Campbell Soup people, that Campbell Soup fortune or whatever. And out of the blue, like, he just called and said, listen, man, you know, my mom just passed and you guys are the only people that looked out for me when I had no place to go. And he goes, I want to do something for you. What can I do? And Joe told him, he's like, look, we're going to lose solutions if we don't get da-da-da such a money. And the next day there was a check there for that amount to cover the place. So my mind is just blown now. I'm like, man, you can't tell me there's no God. Right? And all these things keep happening. And I know, like, today, like, my life today is one of, like, Peter calls it invitation. I don't know if I believe in that. You know, I don't, like, I do this thing very low-key. And, like, it upsets me when she asks me to do this because I don't like doing this. You know what I mean? It's not about me. A lot of people don't know that I do what I do at the Solution Sober House, which is cool, you know, because, like I talked about last week, like, I know a lot of guys that come in here can spit the Bible. They have a lot of faith, but they can't stay sober. They know the Bible verse and chapter and God is great and all this stuff, and those people scare me. Like, they don't scare me, but I just know they're full of shit, so I just back up. You know what I mean? No offense if that's you, you know what I mean? I don't say that to offend. Just saying. In my little microcosm of life, the guys that come to my sober house and spit like the Bible and stuff, they always get high. All of them. And Joe taught me, and I mentioned Joe's name a lot because, you know, I believe God puts angels in our lives, right? And he put this guy in my life for a reason. And he taught me that I should be able to tell you about the God of my, and I said this last week, and you'll probably hear it a couple more times, but I should be able to tell you about the God of my understanding without saying a word. Like, I should be able to tell you and show you my actions, right? The man you see before you today is not who got here. And left to my own devices, I wouldn't be here today. Because Keith is going to drink. Old Keith would drink again and do whatever he's going to do. I've been restored to sanity. All right, we're going to talk about that word sanity. Restored to sanity. Definition of sanity is soundness of mind, right? And concerning drink and drug, I have been restored to sanity. Like, I'm a free man, I can go anywhere I want to go. And through the process, I've been restored. But there was some stuff I had to do. My behavior, right? I can't act my way or think my way into good acting, so to speak. And he always told me, he said, look at the people you surround yourself with, right? Who am I surrounding myself with? And I'm doing this deal. Everyone in my inner circle has a guy of their understanding. Everybody in my inner circle is doing the deal. You know, we do this thing, and it's the most important thing in my life. God, as I've come to know him, is the most important thing in my life. Now, Bill thought it was so important that we understood about this God thing that he wrote a further chapter before he even gets to how it works. Like, how it works is in the fifth chapter of the big book. Now, Bill wrote We Agnostics for me because of my belief system. I just want to highlight a couple things out of We Agnostics. So it says, and again, I talked about it last week, if you're a real alcoholic, right, you don't have to answer 100 questions. Top of page 44, it says, if and when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control of the amount you take, you're probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only spiritual experience will conquer. Two questions. Next page on 45, it says, lack of power, that was my dilemma. I have lost the power to choose whether I'm going to drink or not. It said, we had to find a power by which we could live. It had to be a power greater than ourselves. Obviously, but where and how are we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is enabling you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve all your problems. That means you've written a book which you believe to be spiritual as well as moral. It didn't say religious. It says, and it means, of course, that we're going to talk about God. Dun, 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 dun. Right? So if a lot of people come in here and they have that belief system where I don't like God, I'm anti-God and all this stuff, good. How well has that been working for you? It says, much to our relief, we discover we do not need to consider another's conception of God on page 46. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect the contact with him. So it's telling me right there, like, it's not telling me I got to believe right this second. Just be willing to believe, and it's my own concept. It says, as soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe, underlying totality of things, we began to be possessed with a new sense of power and direction, provided we took another simple step. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidden. To those who earnestly seek, it's open to all, we believe. So it says, when therefore we speak to you of God, we mean your own conceptions. He's hit me over the head with that. This applies too to other spiritual expressions which you will find in this book. It says, do not let any prejudice, meaning old idea, you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. Like, always question this stuff, right? Just because I'm saying it, don't believe me, go to the book. At the start, this is all we need to commence a spiritual growth to affect our first consolation with God's understood. Now, another thing he told me about, like, okay, so I'm dying when I get here, and you're telling me I got to find this God of my understanding. But I want to argue and debate that fact. But I can believe, like, I don't question when you hit a light switch, you turn the light on. You know, I know it's going to come on, right? I don't question the fact that I have DirecTV at home. When I hit that power button, it's going to come on. How's that happen? I don't question that. I just know it's going to happen. But when it comes to this God thing, I want to question and debate that. I want to argue that fact. He put it simple to me. It's like, what do I want? What do I want when I get here? Right? Do I want the car, the job, the girl back? Is that why I'm here? Because if that's what you're here for, we've all had that before. I speak for myself. I had the job, I had the money, I had the car. I always got drunk and high again. Life was never fulfilling. And I've had nothing, life was fulfilling. But when I surrendered, and again, the word surrender, I didn't know what that meant when I got here. I thought it meant you're a loser, you lost. No. In the realm of recovery, surrender to me is giving up to join the winning side. Until I surrendered in step one, I was never going to get step two and three. It was never going to happen. And we always ask our guys, you know, go back in our meditation on Monday nights. Go back to your last 72 hours out there in the muckety muck. Right? We all know where we were. Remember where you were, how you were feeling, what you were doing. Because that's waiting for me on the other side. We talk about legacy. That's another word we're going to use. I'm going to use. Because the man standing before you had no legacy before I got here. Today I have my family back in my life. They asked me for counsel. Help for 7 years, they didn't know if I was dead or alive or not. I've been able to live two lifetimes in one life. First 35 years of my life sucked. Like, no other word for it. Sucked. Sucked. The last 11 years of my life, amazing. And I don't have much. I don't have much. But I have a lot, if that makes sense. And so if you stick around next week, we're going to talk about step three. And God bless.
Jen.